This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, scholars, elders and brothers, we begin by praising Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It gives me great pleasure to be in this masjid, especially when we had the opportunity to be part of the establishment of this. We make dua that Allah Ta'ala accept it, inshallah. And Allah Ta'ala make it a means of recording in our book of good deeds, inshallah al-Aziz. I recall the time I gave one or two talks that time in the temporary structure that was here before they moved into the masjid, and also the time when we did fundraising for this masjid. And we make dua that Allah Ta'ala accept everyone's effort in making this masjid and establishing this masjid. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. The masajid belong to Almighty Allah, and do not call out towards anyone but Allah in the masajid. And there is a very great link between our iman and love for the masjid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, whenever you see a person who is linked to the masjid and he loves the masjid, then bear testimony to his iman, bear testimony to his faith. And then our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read the ayat, which is in Surah Tawbah, إِنَّمَا يَعْمُرُ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Only those who will tend to the masjid and will keep a relationship with the masjid, مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ who believe in Allah and the day of Qiyamah. So our attachment should be with the masjid all the time. One of the signs of a believer is the moment he leaves the masjid, he is anxious, when can I come back to the masjid? Today, unfortunately, we don't have that type of relationship with the masjid. Brothers, the topic that we have at hand is our responsibility to the community. Now, firstly, let me start off by saying that Allah has created us alone. When we came to this world, we were alone. Unless you are twins, otherwise everyone comes alone. And Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, we are going to account for our deeds alone. We are going to be in the qabr alone. وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَى كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. You will come to me alone, individually, the way you were born individually. You will come to me alone, the way you were born alone. On the day of Qiyamah, we're all going to answer for our own deeds. And that is why sometimes it's surprising we're more worried about everyone else. We are more worried about everyone else. We're not worried about our own self. One of our scholars used to say that today people fear Allah with regard to the sins of others. They don't fear Allah with regard to their own sins. Today people fear Allah with regard to the sins of others. You know, you see the people saying, don't look at how the community is committing guna and they're doing this. But our own guna, we're not worried. Our own sins, we're not worried about. So people are more afraid of Allah about the sins of others than their own sins. And that is why in our deen, there is great amount of respect for individual privacy. لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا وتسلموا على أهلها. Don't enter into anyone's home until you seek permission and you make salam upon the people of the house. And if a person tells you when you go and visit him and you knock at his door and you say, I want to come and visit, or you phone him and he says, I'm not in a position to be a host to you, I'm not in a position for you to come now, I'm busy, I'm going out, I got some work. وَإِنْ قِيلَ لَكُمُ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوهُ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. If he tells you, go back, then go back, it is better for you. Because Islam values individual privacy. So So we are people whom Islam has given a great amount of importance to individual privacy and the fact of individual accountability before Almighty Allah. However, after saying that, there's also a fine balance in individual rights, individual duties, and our duties towards the collective. Allah has made us social beings. We are supposed to interact with one another. And interaction, there is difficulty. When you interact with people, it's difficult. When you interact with people, there is trials. وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ SubhanAllah. I have made each and every relationship a trial. Your relationship, father and son, husband and wife, all of it is a trial. How do you deal with that trial of the relationship? أَتَصْبِرُونَ. Adopt patience. When you're dealing with one another, you have to adopt patience. But we are social beings, we're going to have to interact with people. So sometimes, you know, we make a joke with regard to it. One day the husband and wife were having an argument. So sometimes you see, husbands, males look at things differently, females look at things differently. So now one of the spouses, I won't say which spouse, one of them said, I'm going to not talk to my spouse for one whole week. Because I'm angry with them, I want to show them a point. I want to show them I'm angry with them. So I'm not going to speak to them for a whole couple of days. I'm not going to speak to them. So this spouse was thinking, I am giving a punishment to the other spouse. So after a few days, the other spouse started saying, it seems we are getting along quite well nowadays. Nowadays it seems we are getting along quite well. So Allah has made this. In Sahih Muslim there is a hadith, Al-Muslimu alladhi yukhaliqu an-nas ويصبر على عذابهم خير من المسلم الذي لا يخالط الناس ولا يصبر على عذابهم. A Muslim who interacts with people and he makes sabr upon the inconvenience is better than a Muslim who doesn't interact, and better than a Muslim who doesn't have to bear the inconvenience of interaction. And I've seen so many people, they tell you this, I don't get involved with the community, I don't have time, I don't want to, you know, listen to nonsense. I don't want to get involved in it. That is not the way of Muslims. The Muslim who interacts, and interaction, you are going to get inconvenience. You have to bear the difficulty of someone telling you something. And you have to bear the inconvenience of a person's temperament which is different to yours. That Muslim is better than the Muslim who doesn't interact. And my dear respected brothers, there is great amount of barakah in working together. There is great amount of blessings in working together. We are amongst people who worry about the collective. We don't only worry about ourselves. In Surah Yasin, Allah has made mention of the incident of a person whose name Allah didn't mention. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. Allah Ta'ala sent three prophets to one place. The people didn't accept them, didn't listen to them. So when they didn't listen to them, so then what they did was, this person who was an ordinary person, he was an ordinary person. You know, I find it very amazing. Allah has made mention of an ordinary person in the Quran who is not a Nabi, who is not perhaps a very well-known saint. He is an ordinary, he was a carpenter by trade. But Allah mentions him in Surah Yasin that we are supposed to read Surah Yasin every day after Fajr. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. A person came to the people of the city. قَالَ يَا قَوْمْ اِتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. O people, follow this Nabi of Allah. Why can't you follow him? اِتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ عَجْرًا. They don't ask you any remuneration, and they're not making any demands upon you. And they are giving you righteous commands. So look at this. So thereafter, the people got angry with him and they martyred him. They killed him. And after he was killed, Allah Ta'ala put him in Jannah. Allah put him in Jannah. And when Allah put him in Jannah, udkhul al-Jannah. When he was in Jannah, he made dua to Almighty Allah. Ya layta qawmi ya'alamun bima ghafara li rabbi waj'alani min al-mukrameen. Oh Allah, if only you can show my people what you have done to me by me following the prophets. After they killed him, he was worried about his people. He was worried about the hidayat of his people. After they killed him, he's still worried about them. Oh Allah, show them what you have done to me that they might realize that they must come upon the right path. The same thing happened with our beloved Nabi Karim SAW in the Battle of Uhud. Nabi Karim SAW was wounded and blood started coming from the body of Nabi SAW, bruised. Right? And one of the Sahaba, I think it was Utbah bin Abi Waqqas, said, Ya Rasulullah, look at what they have done to you. Ya Rasulullah, now, you know, make a dua against them. Curse them. Allah must destroy them. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted his hands in dua. And some of the Sahaba became very happy because they couldn't bear Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being hurt in such a manner. So they felt that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to now make dua against them. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted up his hands in the battle of Uhud after being, you know, bruised and battered and hurt by these same people. Allahumma ahdi qawm fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, give hidayah to my people, they are ignorant. And all of those people who hurt him, who chewed the liver of his beloved uncle, mutilated the body of his beloved uncle, they became Muslims. So we are people who worry about the collective. We are not a people who only worried about our individual self. And it is our duty to be part of a community. Allah Ta'ala and our deen has given us structures to maintain the community. One of them is Salat wa Jamaat. Well, in Salat wa Jamaat, you come together, you come to know collective. If someone who's every day in the masjid and he doesn't come to the masjid for a few days, the people who always come and say, what is wrong with him? Maybe he's sick, let us make dua, let us go and visit him. Maybe something has happened. It comes in a hadith that when you are regular in a masjid for Salat wa Jamaat, and if you don't come for a few days, never mind your fellow Muslims, even the angels start making dua to Almighty Allah. Oh Allah, this person used to come to the masjid. He is not coming for several days. Ya Allah, if he's not coming because he is ill, Ya Allah, grant him shifa. Grant him cure. And if he's not coming because he's got certain difficulty, Ya Allah, remove those difficulties. Allah has given us certain things to maintain the community. Why is it so? Certain salat cannot be performed but with collective. You can't perform Jummah on your own. You have to perform it collectively. So Allah has made us part of a community. When our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Medina in Munawwara, that time Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had several different communities to deal with. You had the Jews of Medina, you had the Ansar, you had the Aus, you had the Khazraj, who used to all the time fight, have civil wars. And then you had the people who migrated from Makkah, came to Medina. You see, one of the reasons, one of the benefits of Hijrat is that all the collective a'mal which Islam has commanded only came alive in Medina Munawwara. In Makkah, there was no collective a'mal. You couldn't make a collective a'mal. It was even difficult to make Salat with Jamaat. And we all know the incident that only when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became a Muslim, he told the people that let us go and make Salat with Jamaat. Otherwise, it was not even possible. Even after that, it was difficult. But after you came to Medina Munawwara, all the collective amal became alive. So most of the deeds which are collective, all were revealed in Medina Munawwara. The law of inheritance, the law of business. The longest verse in the Holy Quran is about business. The longest verse in the Holy Quran is about business. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا تَدَايَنْتُمْ بِدَيْنٍ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمًّى فَاكْتُبُوهُ. When you give someone a loan, have two witnesses and write it down, record it, that you don't go into dispute. Now this is part of deen, collective type of a'mal, the collective commands of our beloved, of our deen, that all came alive in Madinah Munawwarah. So when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had all of these people together, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did a mithaq, made a pact. How are we going to live together? There are 47 clauses in this particular pact. 47 clauses. How are we going to live together? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Amir. If there is any dispute, it will be referred to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But 47 clauses of how you are going to live together as a community. And in there were Muslims, non-Muslims, and therefore you find that there are different ways of living together as a community. One is living together as a community with people of your own faith. And one is living together with a community where you are in a community where people of different faiths. And we have responsibilities and we have commands for both. How do you live together with people of your own faith in a community? And how do you live together in a community where people of different faiths? So how do we think about the first thing? Let us look about, in fact, Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that when he came, he always, because in the previous scriptures, mention is made that the last Prophet of Allah will come. So when the last Prophet of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come, you know, he will have certain qualities. الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Those who have been given the scriptures, they recognize the last Prophet, they recognize Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way you recognize your own children. Allah in the Quran didn't even say how you recognize your parents. Do you know why? The ulama have said, no one has seen his parents becoming his parents. But you know about your own children. So Allah says they recognize the Prophet the way you recognize your own children. So he realized that this is the last messenger of Allah. So he came. And he said when he came to see Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said the moment he set his eyes on the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Wallahi laysa hadha wajhu kadhab. This can never be the face of an ayah. So much of nur, so much of illumination, so much of blessings in his surroundings. And he said, the first words I heard Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, when he came to Medina, made me realize he's a Prophet of Almighty Allah. He just further cemented my initial thoughts. Ya ayyuhan nas, abshus salam. O people, spread the salam amongst you. In one hadith, make salam to those whom you know and those whom you don't know. We only make salam to whom we know. That's not the Islamic method. Ala man arafta wa lam ta'rif. Those whom you know and those whom you don't know. Afshu salam wa atimu ta'am. O people, feed the poor. Feed people. Wasilul arham. And O people, keep the ties of relationship together. Wasallu bil layli wa nasu niyam. And perform salat in the darkness of the night when people are sleeping. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامِ. You will enter into Islam most comfortable. You will enter into Jannah most comfortable. So the first thing Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought the community together. He created a muakhat. He created a brotherhood between the people of the Muhajirin who came from a different country, from Makkah and the Ansar. And he made them into one brotherhood. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. One brotherhood, he made them into one brotherhood. See, when you get people from different communities coming together in a community, there is always certain amount of temperaments that you have to take into account. People have different temperaments. People who have different tribes have different temperaments. Today we can't come to terms with it. Look at what's happening in the world today. Look at in South Africa, xenophobic attacks every now and then. Look at what's happening in Europe. I mean, where do you see that type of lack of humanity that will allow a ship to sink rather than coming to your shores? Because people can't relate with regard to people of different temperaments and different nations coming together. Our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us that. He brought people together. He made a mithaq. And the first thing he did was make people of your own faith come together. He taught the oneness of the Muslim faith. How did he teach it? إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. The believers are one brotherhood. And do you know how beautifully the Quran has described this brotherhood? Do you know how beautifully Islam has the Quran has described this brotherhood? You see, normally when you tell someone, make salam to another person. You will tell someone, don't kill another person. Don't take out faults of another person. It's a normal way you would speak. But look at the Quranic method of addressing the believers. فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Make salam to yourself. Now who makes salam to yourself? But how Allah has put it, when you make salam to your brother, you're making salam to yourself. فَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't kill yourself. Who kills himself? Unless some people commit suicide, but by and large, you don't kill yourself. Here the ulama say the meaning is, don't kill your Muslim brother, but how Allah put it? Don't kill yourself. فَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't look for faults in yourself. The meaning is not look for faults in yourself. Don't look for faults in your Muslim brother. How Allah has put it? Don't look for faults in yourself. To look out for the faults of your Muslim brother is like looking for the faults of yourself. What joy do you get in it? What joy do you get in it? And when you look out for the faults of other people, it tells you more about your own temperament, your own conduct, than the conduct and the faults of another person. You see, ulama have given this example. The earth throws up good and bad. The earth throws up good and bad. You get fruit, you get vegetables, you get the most beautiful fruit. You get melons, you get watermelons, then you get mangoes, then you get oranges. The earth throws it up. Inna Allah faliqul habbi wan nawa. Allah is the one who split the seeds in the midst of the earth, and from there all the fruit and vegetation comes alive, comes into being, comes into existence. But that comes from the earth. But the earth also throws up filth. Right? So it depends on your temperament, what you will take from the earth. If you are good in your temperament, you will take out the beautiful fruits and vegetables. But if you are, rotten, and you are dirty, and you are filthy, the swine, even if there is fruits, and there is vegetable, beautiful, wholesome, won't eat it, it'll only eat the dirt. So it's not the fault of the earth. The earth will throw up good and bad. It depends upon you what you look at, what you take out from the earth. In a similar manner, there is good and bad amongst human beings. Even within a human being, there is good and bad. It depends upon you what you look out for within human beings. So Allah Ta'ala, and so this beautiful way, you are one. Make salam to yourself. Don't kill yourself. Don't search for faults in yourself. This Muslim brotherhood is one. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. And such is the sacredness of your next Muslim brother. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, he was making tawaf of the Kaaba and the Baytullah. And he looked at the Kaaba and Baytullah and said, very great is your status. Very great is your status. And who can deny the status of the Kaaba and Baytullah? That Kaaba and Baytullah first put up by Ibrahim, Adam alayhi salam, then by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. The people make tawaf of it here. We rush and we love to go to the Kaaba and Baytullah, even if there is difficulties. Even if you have to get visa and you have to have a quota, but you still want to go. Right? And then directly above it in Bayt al-Ma'mur, the angels make tawaf of it. Riwayats make mention, narrations mention that 70,000 angels make tawaf of Bayt al-Ma'mur directly above Kaaba every day. They never get a chance again. Such a sacred. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed the Kaaba, very great is your sacredness, but I take an oath by the being in whose hands my life is, the sacredness of a believer is greater than you. I sometimes think, do we regard a Muslim's honor as sacred as the Kaaba? But that is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us. Will we abuse the Kaaba? We can't, but yet we abuse people. We backbite people. We talk bad about people. This brotherhood, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us so much with regard to it. The unity of this Muslim brotherhood. Yadullahi ala al-jama'ah. Allah's hand of assistance is upon the united lot. That means if you are not united, Allah's assistance won't come upon you. No matter how much of ibadat you do. If you are not united, Allah's assistance won't come upon you. فَإِنَّ الْبَرَكَةَ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. The blessings of Allah is upon the united lot. When you are not united, there is no blessings. So this is the way Allah has emphasized. Look at the teachings emphasizing the oneness of the Muslim brotherhood. Then he also told us about things that you must stay away from. And he has told us about qualities that enhance the Muslim brotherhood and the community. لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بِالتَّعَانِ وَلَا بِاللَّعَانِ وَلَا الْفُحْشِ وَلَا الْبَذِي. A mu'min is not he who taunts other people. Taunting means you speak bad about a person in front of him. You abuse him. You swear him. سَبَابُ الْمُؤْمِنِ فُسُوْفُ وَخِتَالُ وَقُفْرُ. To swear a believer is the highest form of transgression and sin. And to kill him is kufr. وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّلًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا. If you kill a believer, you will remain in Jahannam forever. Quranic ayat tells us this. وَكِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. Now, ليس a mu'min does not taunt and abuse other people. And you know, there's two things. One is taunting a person in his face, and one is speaking behind him, which is backbiting. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُهُ. You will not love eating the flesh of your dead Muslim brother. And backbiting is like eating the flesh of your next Muslim brother. So this is the aspect of ta'ab. Ulama have written, what is more serious? Is abusing a person in his face more serious, or is backbiting more serious? So some ulama have said backbiting is more serious because the person whom you are backbiting, he can't defend himself. And some ulama have said no, ta'an is more serious because you've got no respect for a person, you are abusing him in front of him. It's a difference, it's a technicality the ulama have discussed. Laysa al-mu'minu bil-ta'an. Today we talk about people, we abuse people, we use sarcasm. And sarcasm is also a certain thing, you know. So one person was, one day, you know, he was speaking to a person and he felt that the person wasn't listening to him, so he repeated himself. So the other person said, don't repeat yourself, I was ignoring you. So where do we get, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Tell them to my bondsmen, they must speak beautiful. And then Nabi Karim Sawasam said, وَلَا بِاللَّعَانُ. You don't curse the next Muslim brother. One day Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala got angry with one of his servants. And you know, in his anger he was saying certain things. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came past. And what did Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Siddiqin wal la'anin kalla wa rabbil Kaaba. By the Lord of the Kaaba, a Siddiq and abusing people cannot gel. How can a Siddiq be one who abuses other people? Oh Abu Bakr, it doesn't behove you to be able to do these type of things. You are so great. You are the best in this ummah. وَلَا بِاللَّعَانِ وَلَا الْفُحْشِ وَلَا الْبَذِي. You are not vulgar to people. You are not abusive to people. Today, unfortunately, the more vulgar a person is, the more pious he is. When you see a person abusing people, you say, very, very pious. لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بِالتَّعَانِ وَلَا بِاللَّعَانِ وَلَا الْفُحْشِ وَلَا الْبَذِي. Subhanallah. These are type. Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam never taunted or abused people. They kept the community together. Look at the Quran in the 8th Supara. When Hazrat Hud alayhi salatu wa salam, when his tribe told unto him, قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي سَفَاهَةٍ وَإِنَّا لَنَظُنُّكَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. When Hud alayhi salam presented the truth to them, what did they tell him? Oh Hud, you are a foolish, ignorant person, Aliyadu Billah. And we look upon you as a liar. Today, if someone were to tell us, you are foolish and you are a liar, how would we react? Most likely we will tell him, go from here, your father is a liar, your father is like this. We'll abuse him back in return. What did the Nabi of Allah do? قَالَ يَا قُمْ لَيْسَ بِي سَفَاهَا. Oh my tribe, I am not foolish. وَلَكِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I am the Rasul of Allah. أُبَلِّغُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي. I have come to give you the commands of Allah. وَأَنَا لَكُمْ نَاسِخٌ أَمِينَ. I am your well-wisher. One side they are abusing him, this one side is that type of subhanallah. What type of most beautiful conduct? That's how a community becomes together. There are people who will be weak in the community. There will be people who will do wrong in the community. How do we deal with them? Umar radiallahu ta'ala one day heard about a person who had taken to wrong ways. He had taken alcohol. He was drinking. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala wrote him a letter. And in that letter, Umar radiallahu ta'ala wrote the beginning ayats of Surah Ghafir. Surah Mu'min, Ghafir al-Zambi, wa Qabil al-Tawbi, Shadid al-Iqabi, Dittawbi, telling him to repent and come upon the right path. He told the person taking the letter, give him the letter when he is sober, and tell me what is his reaction. So then, when the person went, waited for him to be sober, gave him the letter, he read it, he started crying. He said, look at Ma'Allah. Ma'Allah is telling me, Shadid al-Iqab. He is very severe in giving punishment. They told he's got capacity to punish you. He got capacity to take you to task. But he's also telling me, despite his power, غَافِرِ ذَمِّ وَقَابِرِ تَوْبِ. He forgives the sins of the repentant and he accepts the repentance of people. He cried and he made tawbah. He said, I'm no more ever going to take alcohol again. The person came to report to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala also cried, made dua for him. And he said, this is the way you tell people who are wrong how to come upon the right path. Don't give shaitan the upper hand over them. You're going to abuse him, you're going to tell him, you are kafir, you are sinner, you are fasik, you are fajr. That person is going to fulfill your prophecies. He's going to go further away. Bring him close to you. This is how we find. Then of course, very lastly, I'll just try and conclude. We are not, this is one, this is how the, and brothers, when this community was strong, when this ummah was strong, you know, it is amazing. It not only protected itself, protected its own, but it protected others when it was strong. When this community was strong, it protected not only its own, it protected others. Mu'tasim Billah was a ruler in our history, not regarded to be the amongst the better rulers in our history. But non-Muslims abducted three Muslim women, and as they were taking them in abduction, they said, Mu'tasim, where are you? You say you are the leader of the Muslims, and we have been abducted, where are you? So Mu'tasim wrote a letter to the king and the soldiers, of the king of the soldiers who abducted the Muslim woman. He said, you release those Muslim women. Otherwise I will send an army from Baghdad. By the time the first portion of that army reaches you, the last portion will still be leaving Baghdad. You release those Muslim women. He had no alternative but to release. Today, what do we hear? What do we see? What's happening in Palestine? Every day. I can't even see those clips. People send me, look at this. I said, I can't see. Our own Muslim sisters are being, horrible things are happening to them. And we can't do it because this movement, the collective is not there. The collective is not there. There was a time when the collective was strong. That is what happened. Three were taken into abduction, they sent an whole army. Today, thousands have been killed. We make dua, Allah accept it, but what else besides it? you can't come to the assistance. When this ummah was strong, the collective was strong, even when the Christians, they abused and persecuted and oppressed the Jews, the Muslims gave them refuge. Go and look at our history. When they were in Spain, when the Jews were being oppressed, they found refuge in North Africa and they found refuge in Spain. Go look at our whole history. When we were strong, we protected our own, we protected other people. Today, when the collective is not there, what is our situation? Inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'budun. It's an ayat in the 17 Juz of the Quran. Brothers, what an amazing. The Quran doesn't say things just like that. This ummat is one ummat. And it linked the oneness of ummat wa ana rabbukum fa'budun wa ibadat. It linked the oneness of the ummat wa ana rabbukum fa'budun and make ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. It linked the oneness and the unity of the ummat with ibadat. Then you have another type of, you know, ummat, and that is, how do you live with people of other faiths? Let me just give you 5 minutes about that. We believe, it's our belief, that we have and we believe in the supremacy of what we believe in. In the deen of Allah in Islam. The deen in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala is Islam. Allah has chosen this religion for us. And therefore, we are even in a situation where we are in a minority or with other people, we preserve our identity. And we guard our identity jealously. Islam is very, very sensitive about its distinctive identity. When the non-Muslims came and said that you come and worship our idols for a little while, we'll become Muslims. Or in one riwayat, put a hand over your idols, we will become Muslims. Allah Ta'ala normally in the Quran, when He addresses believers, He says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. When He addresses believers and disbelievers, He says, Ya ayyuhal nas. Here the first time He said, Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. Oh, you who disbelieve, we don't worship what you worship. وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ لَا عَبُدُ مَا تَعْبُرُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا عَبُدْ. We don't worship what you worship. We are distinctive. We are very... But beyond that, in terms of common humanity, in terms of kindness, in terms of compassion, we are supposed to be part of the community. We are supposed to show those particular type of qualities in dealing with people of other faiths. لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ. Allah does not prevent you with regard to those people of other faith who are not hostile to you, who don't expel you from your homes. People like where we in Kenya, UK, South Africa, people are not that hostile. We still can live in our homes. What does Allah tell you about people of that faith? People of other faiths who don't expel you are not hostile. And tabarruhum, you be kind to them. And you be just to them. You be kind to them. Huh? And the word that is used is bir. In the hadith literature, ask anyone who does hadith, you do Riyazu Salim, birrul walidain. Kindness to your parents. That same word Allah uses for people of other faiths who are not hostile to you. The Prophet of Almighty Allah realized the common humanity of people. One day he got up and there was a janazah going past. He said, Ya Rasulullah, it's a janazah of a non-Muslim. I know. Is he not a human being? Huh? When people in Makkah, when they were oppressing Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, were suffering from famine and drought, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent, despite the limited resources he had, 500 dinars, 500 gold coins to them. At a time when they were trying to attack Muslims, he said 500 gold coins to them to help them out in their drought. Huh? Maybe the Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed. These are the type of things that, and of course sometimes when you are in part of a community, there are certain things that are not essentially only based on faith, but our community and societal problems. You have to deal with it as a society, as a community. One is the importance of our own faith, which I've given here, for example. One is a broader faith. The broader, not a broader faith. We believe in our faith and we don't believe in the oneness of faith, but a broader community and a broader society. So how do you see drugs, crime, are not faith-related issues. They are societal issues. So even if you are within your own faith and you don't deal with it as a community, one day it will come to your community. If you don't deal with crime and safety and security as a community, as people of a neighborhood, then what's going to happen to you? One day it might come upon you where your safety is going to be compromised. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam paid that. You know, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ma zala Jibril yusini bil jar hatta zanantu annahu sayuwarithu." Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so much emphasized the rights of the neighborhood that I felt for a moment that he's going to make them part of your estate. Oh, can you imagine? As it is, we have enough problems with our estate, with our whole family. Can you imagine if the whole neighborhood was part of our estate? What would have happened? This is Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu one day slaughtered a sheep, which used to be very rare at that time. And he said, the first person you give the meat to is the Jewish neighbor. Or give him the first portion of the meat must go to the Jewish neighbor. Nabi Akram Sallallahu one day went to go and visit a Jewish youngster who was sick. And I always tell people, we say follow the sunnah. How many people have ever followed the sunnah? Go and visit a non-Muslim in your neighborhood who is sick. Have we ever done it? But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. Now it's a different matter that when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam invited him to Islam, and Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, you know, become a Muslim. And he looked up at his father, who was a Jewish person, and he knew Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a prophet. And he said, Ati Abu al-Qasim, follow Abu al-Qasim. And he became a Muslim. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam initially went to visit him. So that is part of the neighborhood. You know, they said about Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi, a Jewish neighbor, or it was a Christian, non-Muslim neighbor, put up his house for sale. And when he put up his house for sale, he put it double the market value. Someone said, why are you putting double the market value? He said, half the price, half is the market value. The other half is the distinction to be a neighbor to such a great human being. The other half, I'm putting it double the market value. To be and have the distinction of being a neighbor like such a great person. Huh? When we come into a neighborhood, there's a price, go up or go down. Huh? Can you imagine? This is something that we have to learn from, my dear respected brothers. So we have all of, and then there's called lasting the opportunity. By being part of the community, then you've got an opportunity to go and show people the beauty of Islam. And we believe in what we got is a solution to the ills of the entire community, society in the world. How will we do? We can't keep it to ourselves. We have to have confidence to be able to show it to people. How did the people, Tamama bin Uthal, right, was from the one tribe that used to give a lot of difficulty to the Muslims. And he himself used to give a lot of, you know, whenever Muslims used to pass, he used to attack them. So they got hold of him one day and they arrested him and brought him to Masjid al-Nabawi. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam locked him up on one of the pillars. And Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and said, Thamama, how must I treat you? He said, if you show favor to me and you be good to me, I promise you I will repay your kindness. Because there will be no one who will repay kindness the way I will pay. And if you kill me, then you would be entitled to kill me because of all the wrong that I have done in the past. Although he did make mention of a threat, my tribe will not take it lightly. They will take revenge. But if you kill me, you will be entitled. I've done a lot of harm to you as a Muslim. Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left him. Come on, he saw how the Muslims were staying in the masjid. And after a few days, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came, unlocked him. Go, Thamama, I free you. He went outside. He took a ghusl. He came back and he became a Muslim. And you know what he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He said, 1 week ago, I hated you. I never ever hated a human being the way I hated you. And I take an oath today, I love you more than any other human being in this world. 1 week of seeing the Prophet's akhlaq. Huh? In Hayatul Sahaba, Mawlana Yusuf Qandil, let me conclude with this. Makes mention that one day, a person who used to harm the Muslims was brought into Medina. And when he was brought into Medina, Umar radiallahu anhu, we all know Umar radiallahu anhu had jalal, he had passion for the deen. Ya Rasulullah, allow me to execute him. And Nabi Akram said, Umar, leave him alone. Let me speak to him. And Nabi Akram spoke to him, answered his questions, and he became a Muslim. When Umar radiallahu anhu was insisting that he must be executed because of what he had done previously, perhaps. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke to him and he became a Muslim. And then Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, oh Umar, is this not better than what you had suggested? Is this not better than what you had suggested? And because of that, one day in the time of Umar's Khilafat, there were certain group of people who be turned away from Islam. Now in Islam, in a proper Islamic environment, to turn against an Islamic state is akin to treason. And the death of treason in every particular civilization, in every law, is death. So they killed him. So when he came to Umar, Umar said, did you speak to him about Islam before you? He said, no. He said, how did you just execute a person without explaining to him? And this Nabi Karim Sallallahu also spoke to the person and became a Muslim. He told Umar, isn't this better than what you said? Umar used to cry. He used to cry and he said, I wanted to execute a person because this person thereafter went out in jihad and he became shaheed. And Umar radiallahu said, I wanted to execute a person who became a Muslim, he became a shaheed. Brothers, we've got this opportunity when we're living together with people. So in conclusion, I said firstly, I spoke about individual privacy, the individual rights. We are going to go to Allah Ta'ala alone, the way we were born alone. But we are social beings, the importance of the community. I gave you the example of Surah Yasin, of Habib Najjar. Habib Najjar, I went to his qabr, where the Turkish earthquake took place in Hattay, that where his qabr is. And that person, whom is an ordinary person, but because of his love for his community, Allah Ta'ala has made mention of it. One of the reasons Allah makes mention of it in Surah Yasin, we are part of a community. In being part of a community, you have to make sabr. المسلم الذي يخالط الناس ويصبر على أذاه خير من المسلم الذي لا يخالط الناس ولا يصبر على أذاه. A Muslim who interacts is better than a Muslim who don't interact. Even if you have to bear with patience the inconvenience of other people, then there are two types of interactions. One is the interaction of the faith, people of the same faith. I gave you examples of the oneness of this faith. And those qualities that we have to stay away from, that brings the community together. And then I spoke, give you an example of the other broader community that we are in, where we are in minorities. May Allah Ta'ala give us a topic of understanding the importance of the community and working together to make our community strong. We might not be able to achieve oneness of the entire Muslim world, but we can work towards making our neighborhood and our community one strong community, inshallah. Can we do that, inshallah? Subhanallah wa bihamdi. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم ألف بين قلوب المسلمين وأصلح ذات بينهم واهدهم سبل السلام وأخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور وجنبهم الفواحش والفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم بارك لنا في أسمائنا وأبصارنا وقلوبنا وأزواجنا وذرياتنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اغفر لنا قبل الموت وارحمنا عند الموت ولا تعذبنا بعد الموت اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.